sorry when you can't see.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be talking about bad education. Present are
Steve,
Mary,
George,
Lenore,
Robert,
Rick,
Jane,
Richard,
and Mark.
We should have told you, you're sitting in between.
Right.
What's your phone?
Lenore's disembodied voice is between Robert and George.
When you talk about actors that you'll go see, whatever you're in, Gael.
I think most people will, male and female.
Yeah, he was just fascinating in this film. The movie as a whole was okay. I didn't think it was great for me, but I just thought he was incredible on the screen. I've always thought that for Motorcycle Diaries and Into Mama Tambien, he makes quite an impression.
So you think he was better as a man or a woman?
He was pretty amazing as a woman.
He was good as a woman, but he was better as a man.
He can pull it off.
You saw all the conniving and all the...
He makes a sexy woman, huh?
Mm. Oh, you didn't see it?
Uh-oh.
When there was that one scene where there was a close-up on his face when he was on stage performing, and his eyes, and I was just hypnotized by how well and how expressive his eyes were. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the film, it goes into him studying somebody who's not very good at, a performer who's not very good at that, and just the contrast between his performance and the transvestite that he was studying later on just was an interesting contrast to me, because I was really struck by his performance, when his eyes and his facial expression. I thought they were just really...
Are you talking about the woman who was in pink that he went back to? See, I was impressed by her, because I thought she could pass. I was thinking the same thing you were at the time you saw them, but I was thinking, wow, this performer is really good. And even looking at her backstage up close, I thought she really could pass.
I thought he was amazing. Yeah.
And the voice too was very feminine. Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay.
You have an open in Portland, so you just...
You know that we will spoil it for you, though. So.
Okay.
It's interesting that this film is basically all males. Mm-hmm. I think you pointed that out. And there are like a couple of women who are on the screen for all of 5 minutes.
Yeah, I
can't
remember.
There were two in the movie.
The grandmother too.
The
one on the phone.
Right.
The girl that you got in the car with, that you find out later,
she
married.
Who married?
Juan married at the end.
At the end.
But Almodovar does movies about women mostly.
Exactly.
From the point of view of a gay man, which is why they're so interesting.
Wait a minute.
As a gay man?
He's a gay man.
I'm thinking of Talk to Her.
Right. Well, I'm just saying there's all these layers in his film. That's why I think of gender.
There's so much gender. Not from the point of view, like, of a character.
But I think it always is infused in his films in such an interesting way, even when there aren't gay characters, like Women on the Verge of a Nervous Breakdown. I don't think has any gay characters. Although Antonio Banderas is...
questionable. Well, I was wondering how this movie was going to play, since it is all gay characters, and I was wondering how it would play to the general public.
It's getting reviews that it's his best film in years.
I saw that the 4:15 performance yesterday was sold out at the Clay. I wonder if people know beforehand what the movie is about, and whether general straight audience would be into it.
I think
Almodovar has quite a bit of a following, so I think people will go.
Yeah, but this is San Francisco.
He has a following from his early films that we've talked about.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people were excited that he's maybe coming back to some of the themes of his early films. But I don't.
Well, this is based on an idea of Law of Desire with blackmail.
Right. It is similar to Law of Desire, which I think is a masterpiece.
Yeah, I enjoy that. Yeah. But this is not a fun movie like his earlier one used to be, which is what I miss a lot.
Yeah. Well,
some of it's pretty fun. The interaction between the two characters.
Nothing compared to his earlier films.
Oh, yeah. Some, yeah.
With the wild nuns on his earlier films are much more comedies. Yeah, but they always have so much sexual politics in them.
Yeah.
Is he responsible for putting both Antonio Banderas and what's her name?
Carmen Moore.
Penelope Cruz.
Oh, Penelope Cruz, right? She was in the All About My Mother.
Jumping from Spanish films to
English.
I'm sure he was much better in his native language.
Oh, yeah, she lost the desire.
And then he hooked up. What's that blonde that he's married to?
Not just any blonde. But they're not together anymore. Well, they aren't together. They have a ton of kids. A red in the supermarket. Check out the market. Back to the movie. What did we think?
I didn't like it as much as I liked Talk to Her.
Me neither.
Oh, because you said he's coming back.
That's what the reviewers said. They said that he's back and he's making a movie. And it's got much better reviews than Talk to Her. But I thought Talk to Her was fabulous.
Yeah.
That's what I want to
ask. And the one before that, All About My Mother. I thought those were just incredible films, and in a way, I was disappointed in this one compared to those.
See, I didn't dislike this one as much as I disliked Talk to Her.
Really? Why did you dislike that?
Because there was an event in Talk to Her which just put me over the edge. The rape of the comatose woman.
I didn't see that as a rape. In this film, when he's
plotting to kill his brother, I thought, this is where I'm going to lose it.
Yeah.
It wasn't that bad. I thought Gael was fascinating throughout the whole movie. And they held my interest throughout. But
well, he's on the verge of being a great star, isn't he?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's
not already.
Of the year, yeah.
I didn't see Motorcycle Diaries, but I mean, people are going to be following him no matter what he does, too, now, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or they already are.
Yeah.
You know, he's a really good actor.
Yeah, and it's great that he did drag and was a gorgeous woman. A little different route than most pin-up boys.
Let me ask a basic question. I noticed during the film that Almodóvar did not either write or direct this film. So he was
That's not true.
No, it's written and directed by somebody else. Okay, so I was like, what?
Somebody who said whose same last name is Almodóvar.
I
noticed too. It was the language. They were
co-writes with his brother.
Yeah,
a couple of films now.
Yeah,
really? Or co-produces.
Are you guys still there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're still talking about.
I don't know. Sometimes there's just no sound.
Okay. Well, we'll try.
Doctors are just all quiet.
We'll try to speak up. So no, it is his film. And.
What, did it feel different than Talk to Her and All About My Mother? In that sense of, like, it didn't seem like an Almodóvar twisted stuff?
To me, it did sound.
It
did seem like an Almodóvar film. And even though I think I also liked Talk to Her better, I thought this was really an excellent film anyway.
I like the way that it played with the story. The real story, reality, the script, especially in the beginning, where we don't know if it's the script or the. Yeah. Later on, we realize it is the script, and
Later where they come back to that, and you think it's real and it's their
all the story within a story,
right, and how some of the real stories in the visit, and vice versa, some of the visit is in the real story, and how. How that is part of the storytelling. There's always somebody's life in there, and always somebody's imagination in there as well. Reality and imagination. And I thought that was a really nice thing about this film. Besides
just the content of the film, but the presentation of that and the way it was interwoven in there without being too gimmicky about it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well, this one definitely does not have a straight structure, you know, as Lenore said, that, you know, Kinsey was pretty straightforward, this one doesn't at all. This one is very convoluted and House of Mirrors, they're saying, you know, where you think you're seeing one person's point of view and somebody else, there's an actor's, or, yeah. So
in the beginning when he is the woman and stuff like that, isn't that all in the friend's mind? And that's why all those actors are in the movie later. Like the father, the priest, and the older guy, the other priest, the true priest.
I think you're right. It's in the director's mind.
He starts reading it, yeah. And then you see all these people coming.
It's in the director's mind. Right. I didn't see it that way.
I didn't see that either. You just said it.
Yeah.
And I think you're absolutely right in that it's the director reading and putting these characters in there.
Because almost everybody is represented by two different people.
Right.
The priest, you know, it comes out that he isn't who he says he is, he's his brother, and so everybody is represented by multiple people.
And like when I was watching that, and when they first go to the part where he's talking, the Gael Garcia's character wants to be Zahara, I think is the name?
Zahara, yeah.
And when you're watching that, and I'm still thinking it's the director doing it, because I was surprised later to find out that it was when they played it out and you saw who that person was, the actual Enrique was totally different. It had nothing to do with, because when I was watching it, I thought they were twins because he was playing his sister. And so I'm watching it, and then when the director goes to the house and realizes that his dad and stuff like that. I thought, well, he's got a twin. And we're sitting, I'm going through it all along. But then when they cut the movie and you realize the priest is there and it's a totally different guy, then I thought, wait a minute, this, everything that we were just watching was all in that director's mind, not in reality.
Well, it was also a story written by the person who's dead. And I thought that was an interesting aspect about it as well, that here's this whole movie based on this movie written by someone who's not actually alive. And I thought that was a really interesting thing.
It's rich in terms of all of that. And when you say the twin thing, I'm kind of surprised he didn't do that, because I'm one of our love soap operas.
When they show the other
Separated at birth, or there's all.
Yeah. I think because they didn't do that, it made it richer, because you have these the real people who don't look exactly like that. The priest and the brother.
Enrique doesn't look like the director.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's a lot to think about with this film if you are taken enough by it to I have been thinking about it. Yeah. I saw it over a week ago and I've been thinking about it a lot.
And the last scene was done really well too, in that you don't really realize that it's the film, and then it backs out.
I guess
you see the stage, and then they break down the stage.
But it's hard to tell with Almodovar because he is so crazy.
What scene was that?
The last scene where they're
in the hospital.
They're in the priest's office.
You're thinking that you're still back in that other part, and then everything, like you said, everything breaks up and you realize, wait a minute. And then you see that priest, and that's when I thought, okay, this, everything that we just watched was not, it was all in the director's mind, because that priest looks nothing like the other guy.
Like Kelsey Grammer phrase.
And then, of course, there's all the references to film noir. This is sort of Almodovar's homage to film noir. I don't know if that came across as... I would have liked even more of that, but Double Indemnity and all those. There's references to all of them, but...
And the Bernard Herrmann score.
The Bernard Herrmann was so... Yeah, that was so interesting. That was so...
Those credits were pretty...
Yeah, and the credits were clearly a Hitchcock homage, yeah. Well, the whole thing is pretty Hitchcock, yeah.
The very end, I saw the movie The Clay, and at the very end, the final thing where the pieces of the wall sort of blow up, and you sort of read the story about Enrique and what he has done since. Everybody in the theater laughed at that. It was really humorous. But then after that was done, and then everybody applauded. So they found people found that to be kind of hokey and humorous. Nevertheless, they really liked the film.
They laughed at just what Enrique had been up to, or
no, just the whole little snippets of info about what happened in his theater.
Well, Alma DeVar would love people laughing. No doubt about that. And that's why I love him, because he's a serious filmmaker, but he loves women's prison films. You can certainly tell that. He's my kind of guy. Well, I mean, they all have that sensibility of indie films, of trashy soap opera. It's more soap opera, I think, in his case, because you're growing up with soap operas in Spain.
Well, I gotta hand it to him for putting this movie out, having so much gay content, and that it is out in public release, that it's just kind of refreshing to see that. And like I said, I was just wondering how it would play with straight audiences.
Yeah, well, there's certainly some pretty negative images.
And that's true,
The two guys in the beginning, the two drag queens that want to just...
Negative images of the Catholic religion.
And again, I saw it in Boston, which is a city that is just reeling. You know, I'm sure there's so many people who could not go to that film, who would find that it was too easy on the priest. That it was almost taken lightly. So I kept thinking about that.
Well, one of the reasons I didn't get to it was because I was a block away from the Clay, and it was starting in 20 minutes, and my girlfriend and I had to make a decision on what movie to see, and she wouldn't go see it with me.
Yeah.
So we hightailed it to the Kabuki and saw The Incredibles.
Jeez, there's a choice.
You know, sounds funny, but the bottom line was she wasn't ready to deal with, like, we read the review, actually, and it's friggin' Nick LaSalle, of all people, but nevertheless, I think it was Nick LaSalle. I think it was him.
Yeah.
But anyway... No, you know, it was a Chronicle review, so that tells you that. But and it was actually a good review, but it was you know, she read, she's like, I can't do that. I said, okay, let's see something lighter.
Why? Because of the priest review.
Well, it just seemed too heavy, you know. And it was Christmas week and everything, and it was just I can't.
It's interesting
that right
it
now.
Opened Christmas week, because traditionally, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And wouldn't you families going to this on Christmas?
No.
Walker's is right next door in the next moment.
Maybe it opened up on Easter in Spain.
Didn't he do a film called Bad Timing?
No.
Well, somebody did.
Somebody always has a film called Bad Timing. But on the other hand, a lot of serious films do open at the end of the year because of the Academy Award.
Right.
So there is that tradition.
Spain had to pick between this one and The Sea Inside.
For their nominee.
Foreign film.
And?
So The Sea Inside. Inside.
Yeah.
How many of you have seen The Sea Inside?
I wanted to. It just disappeared, though.
Did the Marine Corps see it?
No, but it is still showing, I believe, the Rafael film. So.
Oh, okay.
It only played for like a week.
Is The Sea Inside open and close here? Or
It seemed just a little too sentimental to me.
You saw it?
No, just the previous.
Oh, really? I didn't hear there was
something. I wanted to see it.
Again, I would see something for his performance.
Yeah, Javier.
Because, boy, he is so amazing.
Yeah, he's supposed to get a
good actor.
Yeah, incredible.
He's the one who might make it big in Hollywood eventually.
Yes,
he chooses to do that.
Yeah.
God, I hope he doesn't.
Yeah, we'll have to watch. I like your choose the moment when they go down.
Yeah, let's do that. Let's make that a little game. Tammy can contribute an hour.
But then there's some people who come back.
Oh yeah, I mean,
there are some of the people.
It's not about one film, I think.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Always since the choices they make to make a movie.
Well, when Spanish actors start doing American films, that's pretty much, you can probably count on that being one of their.
Well, the guy in Gael from Y Tu Mamá También and his friend in the film, actually his real friend in real life, Diego Luna, he kind of has done some a lot of American films, a number of them, and none of them have been that great. That Havana Nights was not great. And supposedly he was in.
He's in the Terminal.
Terminal.
Oh, is he?
With Tom Hanks.
Another one too. Oh, who is he playing that? I just saw that.
He's the guy who's in love with the girl.
Yeah.
That he keeps sending Tom Hanks to go and talk
to. Oh, yeah. He was good in that. Gael is stuck with Spanish-speaking films.
Mm-hmm. And made
his
it Jewish. Yeah, that is interesting.
Now, Gael, he's from Mexico?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
He's done one that if Lucy Bell, he was in that, which was a stupid film, but he was in it.
A comedy. I guess it was a Hollywood comedy. An English-speaking film.
Monica Potter, the Julia Roberts doesn't look like, but sounds just like her.
Well, there's certainly a pool. It's got to be about money a lot of times, I think. You know, they just can't.
Yeah.
I mean, does Almodovar paint?
But that's been the tradition of Hollywood for silent films.
Does Almodovar paint these people? I mean, Almodovar's a really, really successful filmmaker in terms of critically, obviously, he's won an Oscar.
To Hollywood.
Huh? But what kind of
budget does he have?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Well, Woody Allen doesn't have a budget either, apparently, you know, really. Well, and of course, he gets everybody to work with him because he's Woody Allen.
Mike Lee, he doesn't have a budget. Yeah. He goes along and makes his movies.
Yeah. But
thank
goodness.
And then they give Oliver Stone $150 million.
That's the flop of the year, I guess.
Oh, well, no, they said the flop of it. The one that's so bad that it's good is the Kevin Spacey biopic.
Yeah,
did
you hear
it?
It's like laughable. It's like the showgirls of the year.
Well,
think
about what he
does.
Is that bad?
I won't pay that. I won't pay full price. I mean, they seem just painfully bad. I mean, he's doing Splish Splash or taking a bath. He's supposed to be like a teenager.
Yeah, and he's 45
with a bad fake nose and a toupee.
The scenes where he's coming out of Kate Bosworth and Chris Andrew D are just creepy.
See, and they said because
he believes in it so much. He's been on the tour. I heard that was
fantastic.
That guy is said that was a great night at Bimbo.
Well, there's a whole history about that film, you know, that goes back 20 years.
Well, get a younger.
No, but 20 years.